Let's start in the book of Acts tonight. I'm going to do something I very rarely do, and we're going to do a little bit of a survey tonight connected with this, just to try to give us a little bit as a church family, as a heartbeat or a philosophy that we've talked about before, but this is an opportunity for us to be reminded again of what God uses a church to do, even in a young man's life. Acts chapter 16. Did I give you the right chapter? I'm sorry, did I just say Acts? Acts 16. Wanted to look at Timothy for just a minute. Timothy and the relationship that Timothy and Paul had was a unique relationship, though not unprecedented and not something that shouldn't be happening regularly. I feel, again, as I even mentioned this morning when we were talking about Peter being a mentor, mentoring that church, I feel like the Lord in my own personal life has allowed me to be a Timothy, can I put it that way, a Timothy to under several men that have influenced and impacted me directly and for my eternal good. And I'm grateful for that. And really, as we have the opportunity to have Pastor Caleb here regularly, all living with us, being part of it, that's exactly what we're striving to do. And if I can step back and maybe take Pastor Caleb out of the picture and Elise out of the picture for a minute, that really should be our desire as a church family, no matter who's the assistant pastor. We did everything that way with Pastor Harold, remember? Those of you that were here through all the years that he was here, the growth and development in his life, we rejoiced in that. That was a blessing. We look forward to seeing what God will continue to do through him. And so we do that again as God brings another assistant and so forth. I told Pastor Caleb, I'm not ashamed to say, boy, if the Lord would keep you here for 20 years, I don't think we'll complain. We like that stability. We like that joy, though we understand and know that doesn't appear, at least at this moment, what God will do. And the reality is most of your assistants are here for a set time, and then God leads them on. We've developed them. We've done what our part is, if I can put it that way. And so Paul's relationship with Timothy was much the same way. It was over what appears to be a number of years. Acts 16, we are probably right around the 40s A.D. By the time Paul is martyred, and that's another 20, 25 years down the road, potentially. 15 to 25, all right? 15 to 25 years. A lot of years where Paul had the opportunity to directly impact Timothy. But that wasn't always, in a sense, as Timothy was Paul's helper. He had sent them out, and we'll see this here in a little bit, where Timothy was out serving the Lord in ministry already, and yet that relationship had been maintained and continued. And Paul was continuing to help his son in the faith. Here in Acts 16, I call this ministry begun. If you're taking a few notes, Acts 16 verses 1 through 3, ministry begun with Timothy. Then came he to Derbe, this is verse 1, and Lystra, this is talking about Paul, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And then the ministry goes on there, but just here's our little bit of an introduction to Timothy. And what do we know about Timothy here? Well, he was introduced to him. He would know about mom and dad, what we would call, and I'm not trying to be discourteous in any way, but a mixed marriage here, a Jew and a Gentile being married together. That was uncommon in that day, not a common thing. And so that was pointed out in Scripture. It also had impact on what Paul had Timothy do in verse 3. He wanted to make sure that Timothy could minister to the Jews. And circumcision was a critical thing to any Jew coming out of the Old Testament setting. That would have been a point of hindrance if Timothy wasn't circumcised. So they took care of that matter so that he could have freedom to minister well. When ministry begins, it's important to see that Timothy was well reported of, verse 2. Those around him that knew him, and those were the people there in the church at Lystra and Derbe, and they said, Timothy's a godly young man. He's really growing in the Lord. Now, again, let's make a note of the fact that he's not a teenager here. More than likely, he's in his 20s or even approximately 30 years old. Still considered young as far as ministry and life goes. He still needed to, in a sense, have ministry experience. But what the church knew about him, what they observed in him already, they knew that he was godly, that he was following the Lord, had a passion. He was well reported of. As we consider Pastor Caleb, we've gotten to know him a little, haven't we? I trust, at least that's been my perspective, and I trust it's been your perspective, We see godliness there. We see anxiousness for ministry and service for the Lord. We see that excitement and vivaciousness of spirit. Elise was teasing me at lunch today, talking about somebody that's very energetic, and say he's just like Pastor is. Well, I'm feeling my old age. I feel like Pastor Caleb is the one that's energetic, not me. But we appreciate that, don't we? We love that vim and vigor for life and for godliness. And I'm grateful for that. But this is only the beginning. This is really only a start point. What else did they do in verse 3? As I've already alluded it, so he was well reported of, but Paul took care of any kind of hindrance that would hinder his ministry among the people there, and as Paul would take him out in further ministry and mission work around the Roman Empire. He wanted Timothy to be able to minister to both Jew and Gentile, not just to Gentiles. And so he knew that there would be some cultural things that would hinder his ministry to the Jews if he wasn't circumcised, so he took care of that matter. As we've contemplated the possibility of purchasing a home for Pastor Caleb and Elise initially, as one of our assistants, his expression to me was, Pastor, I just feel like I'm distant. We really want to move down here. And that's what started the wheels turning in my head again. Of course, you know that as a church family, we've discussed this a couple times. We considered it with the Harrells. Maybe what we should do is try to provide a housing for him, though we can't put it in our budget to have the cash flow, but we have some savings that we could use and plunk that savings into a home where it's in some way secure and be able to minister that way. So it's a wonderful benefit. So we've contemplated this before, but I wasn't contemplating with them until he said, Pastor, we really want to move down and be close. Well, I get that. I'll never forget the years of ministry while I was at Maranatha, serving as in a lay position in the church in Lake Mills, Wisconsin. It was too far for me to go back to Mom and Dad's church up in West Salem, up near La Crosse. It was a three-hour drive. That was out of the possibility. And so the Lord had some dear family friends who was pastoring in Lake Mills and got involved there. And we did everything we could. Then I got married there, and Deb and I were involved there. The Lord gave us just what I consider unique opportunities to serve. I'm so grateful for Pastor Vauder, for Pastor Shore, who were some of my mentors, frankly. Gave me those opportunities. But I'll never forget when I moved to Pennsylvania. I said, sweetheart, everything we can, we're going to live in the same town that we go to church in. Because it's frustrating being 20 miles away and you're only distant. There's just the reality that you can't be connected. And so I caught that when Pastor Caleb said, we really want to move. I got that. I understand. And so we want, as a church family, one of the reasons we're contemplating this, purchasing the home, is to remove a hindrance for his ministry so he can be here, serve with us, be a blessing. I'm looking forward to that possibility. I need help in ministry, need my hands lifted, and that will be a blessing to have him close at hand so I can hand off more ministry and work to him to do and so forth. So, ministry begun, Acts chapter 16. Let's run to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and this is what I call ministry together. We don't have a lot of, we could read through the rest of the book of Acts, and Timothy was along on much of that missionary work, but his name is not mentioned a lot. He's referenced here and there. He was sent out, came back, and so forth. But we do have a little bit of a glimpse into what Paul and Timothy's relationship had become here in Philippians chapter 2. And this really is I'm just grateful for God providing this little window into what was really happening. Acts provides a lot of the movement, and the focus of the book of Acts is not about that relationship between Paul and Timothy. It's about planting churches, and we've obviously walked through the whole book of Acts seeing that. As we come here to Philippi, though, there's some area of need, and Paul cannot go and minister yet. He's in prison. And so he's wanting to send someone like him that can go minister to the folks there in Philippi. So verse number 19, Philippians chapter 2. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. So obviously a part of the role here of Timothy was to report back to his father in the faith, to Paul, let him know how the church at Philippi is doing. But here's why he's sending Timothy, verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. I remember as an assistant pastor, this section was, in my mind, was critical to my philosophy of ministry as an assistant. I realized that God was saying Timothy was doing it right. And if I was going to be a good assistant, I better be like Timothy was to Paul. And notice Paul's wonderful commendation of him. So he commends him that they were laboring together, verse 19. All right, I need to send Timothy to do the work that I can't do. Timothy was willing to do the grunt work. Caleb? Anyways, okay. Okay. That's a part of ministry and life. It is. I appreciate it. All right, in the short time that Caleb and Elisa have been here, one of the first things he realized, Pastor, I see that you are always usually the last one here, and it just kind of falls to you to lock up the building, get everything put back together. And of course, I'm not fastidious or anything. So he said, Pastor, I'll help. Let me enter. So today, you know, we go home for lunch. He's heading out the back door. I'll get the back all taken care of. Thank you. He's laboring together with me. That's a joy. That's a blessing. He didn't quit it quite right, but I'll keep teaching him, okay? Anyways, it's okay. Secondly, all right, another characteristic that was a blessing that Timothy was to Paul. Verse 20, he was like-minded. That is a precious term there in the Greek. It's talking about being of the same soul. We would call it this way. They had the same heartbeat, same direction, same passion, same loves. And Lord willing, as Pastor Caleb is here, he will not simply catch my heartbeat, which, again, I will admit, my heartbeat needs to keep growing. I need to keep maturing, those things. It's not perfect. I trust that it's in line with the Lord. But he'll catch our heartbeat. I am grateful for the ministries before here that indelibly imprinted their character on me. I tell you, and maybe that makes you mad at them, but I am who I am in many ways because of the ministries that I was involved in, whose soul I wanted to become like. And that's really critical. We'll help, Lord willing, as God gives us more time with him here, to imprint on his heart a biblical philosophy of ministry and life. And that's critical, to be like-souled, of the same soul. It was a joy for Paul to say, I trust Timothy. He's like-minded. I know that he has the same love for you, Philippi, that I do. I know that he has the same understanding of ministry and how to get it done that I do. So he'll do you right. He'll treat you well. Unlike, verse 21, all that seek their own. And they don't seek the things which are Christ's. You see, it was a sad note that there were many in ministry that Paul could not trust. It appears verse 21 gives us this clue that these are people that they weren't just on the outskirts, but even people fairly close that didn't have the same mind, didn't have the same heart. He doesn't elaborate on what it was that was different. I think scriptures give us some pretty good clues. There's, folks, you're our core family. I trust that we have one heart. And yet the reality is even among us, I would say, there's some people that aren't passionate enough, that aren't following the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, living out the Word of God rightly, faithfully. That's why we have church. That's why we encourage one another. Paul, at times, was discouraged. There were people, and he records individuals by name. They'd walked away. They were fellow laborers, and then they had another philosophy. They went their own way. They didn't follow Christ. I trust that that will never be said of us as a church family or as individuals. But there are plenty out there, okay? May we not be one of them. May we be following Christ, having that like-minded. And he goes on, verse 20 again, another characteristic. So he was like-minded. So they labored together like-minded. And I call this, the end of verse 20, like-passioned. He talks about who will naturally care for your state. And that word naturally talks about, it's talking about being genuine. the Spirit of God had so worked in Timothy's life that Paul, again, could trust that the ministry that Timothy will have for the Philippians would be real and genuine, that it would actually accomplish godly goals there among the Philippians. And he would hear a good report coming back. Timothy would be able to handle issues or problems, would be able to encourage those discouraged in ministry, all that Paul would desire to see. This was, the word natural is not talking about what's just normal in everyday worldly, fleshly living. No, it's natural, supernaturally, can I put it that way? It was real. He was truly and honestly a real minister of Christ. Now, we want to help Pastor Caleb and Elise become that. They're young. That's okay. That's not their fault. But we want them to grow up and become godly servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us help them do that so that they will naturally, and that's a part of teaching them the philosophy of life and ministry. You all are a part of that. Every part of the church family is on purpose by God and on purpose to connect and influence. I'm encouraging you folks, influence him and her rightly and well. May they be like passioned like we are. Verse 21, the positive side of this, obviously for all seek their own, but not the things that are Jesus Christ. And what he was saying is that Timothy was seeking the things of Jesus Christ. He wasn't concerned about his own glory. He wasn't concerned about getting it done his own way. Hey, I've got a better way to do this than God's plan. No, he wanted to follow Christ. So the characteristic of your writing notes is he was looking to Christ. All that we've seen as we've walked through 1 Peter and now into 2 Peter, that was a part of Timothy's life. He passionately pursued the character and the image of Christ in his life. May God help Pastor Caleb do that, and may we help him do that. I am grateful that you folks have been a part of helping me become more like Christ. That's important. Yes, God has called me to shepherd you, but I'm not Christ. I'm not the head here. And so I've made a flesh like you are. And our interaction around God's word to provide counsel and wisdom. Again, I go back to, I thank God for the deacons that God has given us here. Men that are faithful, godly, they're, Acts 6, they're well reported of. They're men full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. And their wisdom helps. Your pastor does not have all wisdom residing in him. Only God does. And as we do our part, everyone does their part right, guess what happens? Even your pastor grows in the Lord Jesus Christ. You help me become more like Christ. Overcome some of my faults and flaws. And there are plenty. Ask my wife, okay? Anyways, okay. And that's critical and helpful. So, we need to do the same thing for Pastor Caleb. Let's help them become more like Christ. My heart is encouraged to hear him say, Pastor, slap me up a little bit. Now, I hope I didn't do it too hard, but to help direct thinking. Is it because I'm... No, it's because God has put me down the path a little further than him. That's all. And it's been lessons that he has had to teach me, and some of them have been pretty hard in my life, where the Lord has taught me and grown me. And I hope I never forget what he's taught me. Okay, so he's looking unto Christ. And verse 22, another L word, he was loving one another. But ye know the proof of him that is a son with the Father. He has served with me in the gospel. It is a biblical right philosophy or for a pastor and his assistants to learn to love one another. I was absolutely amazed as I worked on couple different staffs under three different senior pastors, the amazement to see how these men would draw people, other men around them to fill the gaps properly, though they weren't necessarily the same. The standing joke in some respects at Faith Baptist Church in Warren, Michigan over the years that I was there was there was Pastor Dave's office and then there was Pastor Brian's office. And our office told you exactly how we did ministry. I can't think unless the paper's straight. I'm sorry, I'm weird. It's like something snaps in my head. Oh, please straighten that paper up so I can think, okay? Pastor Brian, creativity just is oozing out of him. Well, you can see it on his desk. It's all over the place. His wife, dear Pat, she would every once in a while try to go in and straighten up his life, all right? It took maybe one day, and it'd be all back to where he liked it, all right? But all of that was on purpose. Dr. Marriott understood the value, and it was a great lesson for me to understand, yes, not everyone is identical, and that's okay. And in fact, that's on purpose. I think God prospered the ministry because Pastor Marriott kept Pastor Brian and I in line enough to get some work done. And that was a huge blessing. And so there was, in many ways, a father-son relationship. Dr. Marriott's relationship to Pastor Brian was different than his relationship with me. Why? Because Brian and I were different, okay? But there was still that loving relationship where God's ministry was being accomplished in a great way. And I rejoice in it. It was a blessing because over the years, as our Pastor Brian and my ministry interacted, and Pastor Marriott was helping direct our steps, keeping our thinking straight, not making us choke each other, all right? And there would be a fleshly tendency to do that. He would drive me insane. And I know I did it to him. He told me a few times. Okay, so. But the Lord intervened, and our ministries were able to really dovetail because Dr. Marriott was being the father he's supposed to be to both of us, helping us love him and love one another. And there was this wonderful work of God that was taking place that was beyond us. It was clearly the work of God. And we desire the same for Pastor Caleb and Elise. It would be my joy and my delight to be, in a sense, his spiritual father for however long he's with us, to minister God's word, to give him everything I know, and help him grow beyond me. If he becomes a better pastor or better counselor than I am, praise God! It's like Moses. I would that everyone was filled with the Spirit, that everyone could counsel in the nation of Israel. That's Moses' desire. That's a right desire. He was wanting them to grow. So let us, as a family, help Pastor Caleb be the son to a father. I realize that's unique between a pastor and assistant pastor. But let's encourage it. Let's help it grow. So I'm challenging you tonight. If ever I say something that I'm getting a little frustrated with him, help me be the dad I'm supposed to be to him. Does that make sense? That's a part of our familyness together, all right? And likewise, if he's really getting, if one of my, you know, chinks in my armor is really rubbing him wrong, and you say, I understand because it rubs me too, but let's love one another and let's grow in the Lord together. Pastor can help you with this. Ignore that other rough part, all right? That was what God desires. Don't we do that in the home? Every one of my three boys are absolutely, utterly different. Now there's some sameness to them. And yet we rejoice in every one of them. And so, yeah, we put up with some kinks in each other. My boys can laugh at all my oddities. They do, and they tell me about them every once in a while. Keeps you humble, but it also keeps you real. And we know how to minister to one another. I rejoice in that, and may that be our relationship one day, as we continue to serve the Lord together here. And may that be our relationship as well. So, what ultimately happens, all right? We've seen ministry begun. We've seen ministry together, all these characteristics. They labor together, like-minded, like-passioned, looking to Christ, loving one another. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. As we wrap it up, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Can I put it this way? 2 Timothy is Paul's swan song. He knows he's about to die. Like we've seen in 2 Peter, Paul's swan song was to his son in the faith, not to an entire church. He had many churches that loved him. But his one desire was that his son in the faith, Timothy, would continue the work of the ministry. And so, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's start reading in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If we went back to the chapter 1 is is God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sometimes Bible commentators call Timothy timid Timothy. I don't know that he was highly more timid than any of us. He had to do some pretty strong things for Paul. But the reality is, if we're honest with ourselves, in the spiritual battle of the day, we all would rather recoil from it, wouldn't we? Let me get out of the conflict and not stay in the conflict. And so Paul was doing the same. Timothy, it looks like I'm about ready to leave the forefront, the front lines of the battle against sin and Satan and hell. Timothy, be strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then he says this in verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. So all the things that I've taught you, we've kind of almost had like classes together. Remember all the guys that traveled with us, Timothy? All these witnesses. And then remember all the churches that we taught and preached in together, and you sat and learned as I taught and preached. All the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses. Now, Timothy, the same. All that truth, all that doctrine, what we called in 1st, 2nd Timothy today, the present truth. That same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We are to entrust to Pastor Caleb the truth of God's word. God gives us this set time, however long it is, that he's here with us. May we be found as a church faithful in giving him everything we can of God's word. So that when God calls him beyond us, we can say, go get him. You go do the same thing we've done to you. Take God's truth and commit it. Entrust it to others. One day, us older folk, and I'll include myself in that right now, are going to be gone. And if the natural process of things happen, Pastor Caleb and Elise will still be around. And we want God's word to continue to influence him as he influences others for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? If that's the process that God has ordained for the gospel and for truth to continue on until he comes, well, let's be found faithful doing it, folks. Let's do our part right now. Let's commit to him. Commit and trust to him all of God's truth and word that we can. Until God calls him beyond us, well, then we send him on and say, go get him. Paul was doing that to Timothy. Go get him, Timothy. It's your turn now. You take the lead, you take the reins. I never knew if God would ever do that for me, if I can put it that way. I felt like God maybe would keep me as an assistant pastor all my life, and I was okay with that. But God hasn't. And so we're here. And now God is asking me directly, us together, to continue to help Pastor Caleb. We've tried to pour our lives into the Harrells. I trust that that will continue to blossom, grow for them. But now, here's the next step, all right? And it's already begun, folks. We're already in. We've already said yes to have them on staff, all right? But let's keep faithful at it. Can I do that? Let's stay faithful to it until God leads them on. I hope, in all sincerity, I hope one day when God would call them further on, that it'll be a day where we'll weep together as well. That's because that means that we become like-minded, like-passioned. We're following Christ. We love like father, son, like family. And that's God's design and God's purpose for how we help young men serve the Lord for the rest of their life. Let's be faithful in entrusting to him all that we can for godliness and for life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Timothy. Thank you for Paul's, all that Paul poured into Timothy's life and the joy and delight that Timothy was to Paul in ministry. He caught Paul's heart, his mind, his philosophy of life and ministry. And then Paul challenged him, all right, keep going, Timothy. May we have the same heart here. In the years that you would give us to serve along with Pastor Caleb and Elise, help us, Lord, to pour into their lives, so that one day they can pour into others. And I know that they'll do it even here among us. I pray, Father, that as it would please you, and it is a right view of life and ministry, that we would become a family here with them. I know that that includes risk. I know that includes the possibility of a heartache when one day you would call them beyond us. And yet, Lord, may we be willing to take that risk and to love you and to love them well. Thank you so much for what you're doing among us. We want to please and honor you in everything that we do here. We pray that that would continue on through the life of Caleb and Elise as well. It's in your name we pray. Amen. What song did you pick out?